No matter how much we know of the technical skills and exploits of today, regardless of the interest we show in society, its politics, its civil and religious activities, and regardless how conversant and opinionated we may be as to all the issues confronting the world today, let me say this, my dear listening friend, that unless we know what it means to believe on Christ, we know absolutely nothing of vital importance. Of vital importance, I say, because it is a matter of your eternal well-being and destiny. To believe on Christ is to be saved. To live and die in unbelief is to be lost, and that forever. Yet, alas, though the question is of such unspeakable importance, there are few questions that are more undefined in the mind of a truly anxious inquirer. And I trust today that you are that. That you are an anxious inquirer as to just what it means to believe on Christ. Now it is to such that I especially wish to address my remarks today in these few moments with the book. There are some who think and say that they have always believed in Christ, and they've never doubted anything that Scripture says about Him. And yet, they know that they are not saved by the belief that they do have, and hence they get occupied with their own faith itself. And they come to the conclusion that perhaps they don't have the right kind of faith. Now, this attitude is really a delusion of the enemy of your soul, because it imparts a mysterious importance to believing, which does not belong to it at all. You know, faith, to be the faith that we're talking about in believing, the believing that we wish to speak about, is that which has an object for it. And that grand object of believing and object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we get occupied with our faith, how we believe, how little or how much, we lose sight of the object. And this is the intention of the enemy, to get something between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in John 3, verse 33, we have something that could be called perhaps an explanation of faith. In these words, and I quote them, "He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." Now, the testimony referred to here is the Word of God, the Bible. And the Word of God is the ground of faith. Now, when a person receives God's Word as sure and certain truth, and just because that it is His Word, he honors God. He honors God with the confidence of his heart. In a word, he sets to his seal that God is true. Now, this is what we must do. Does my listening friend believe the Bible to be the Word of God? That from cover to cover, we have God speaking His mind, His truth? This is the ground of faith. Now, one who has faith in this has the faith that we're talking about. He believes God, and he wants no higher authority. And when this is so, when this is the attitude, then on this basis, we can count the affairs of our soul settled forever, because God speaks about them, and we take Him at His word concerning them. We read in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the ground of faith. Now, if the object that the Word of God presents is right, and it is right, the object is Christ Himself, then the faith that we have cannot be wrong. Divine faith is what we need, and divine faith is what we have when we have our faith in the divine testimony, the Word of God. When this is so, a link is formed through faith between the soul and God. a link that shall endure forever. This is what you desire. This is what the Word of God presents for your acceptance. Now, we might simply say, generally, that to believe on Christ, then, is to look to Him, the Savior God as presented in the Word of God, the ground of faith, to look to Christ as the object of the heart's confidence and affection. Now, first of all, this involves a reception of the testimony of the Word of God in regards to your own need of Him. Yes, you need Him, I need Him. We all need Him. Now, the owning of this need to Him in repentance is necessary in order to receive Him as a Savior God. A West Point graduate who recently attended a Bible conference said that he believed on Christ, but went on to add, "But I don't feel my need of Him." Now, this is a case in point of what it means not to believe on Christ. Is my listener such as this? Oh, I trust if that is the case, if you don't feel your need of Christ, that you today will have your need revealed to you, and the Word of God, which is the testimony, which is the ground of faith, presents your need. Whether you realize it or not, it is true. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's testimony commands you now to repent. And Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall perish." He also said, "If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." You need Him. Oh, I trust that today you realize your need of Him. And if so, we would be quick to assure you that He wants you. You want to be saved? The Lord wants to save you. You want to know for a certainty that you're going to spend eternity in heaven and not in hell. Oh, dear listening friend, let me present the testimony of Scripture in regards to this. And let me direct you to consider just four simple yet precious things from the Word of God, which I trust may be helpful to you, that you might today find peace and joy in believing on Christ, that you will realize that He is the one who is the object of your faith, who will never fail you. And when received in simple faith, and His finished work is done on your behalf, you will have the blessing and assurance that you need and long for. First of all, let me direct you to this thought. To believe on Christ is to believe His love and grace as revealed in the Scriptures. Oh, how wonderfully the Scriptures reveal the love of Christ, the love of God, a love that is without measure and without end. Scripture speaks of it as the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It cannot be plumbed to its depths. It cannot be explained. But, oh, it can be enjoyed. It's a love that goes out to all men, just as the sun goes out to all on the earth. So the love of God goes to the whole world. He loved the world and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we must not simply view the love of Christ in a general way. A believing heart, that is, one who really believes on Christ, makes a personal application to himself. In a word, we realize then that this love that has gone out to all men and the grace that has brought salvation to all is available to all and must be received individually. It's not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. The Apostle Paul is an illustration of one who personally appropriated the love of Christ. He says in Galatians 2:20, "The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me." Can you say that? Ah, if this is the language of your heart, you know what it is to believe on Christ. Now, secondly, let me consider with you this point, that to believe on Christ is to believe that He died for sinners. This is the message of the gospel. As we have in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. But here again, true faith is not satisfied with a general belief in this fact. Believing on Christ is expressed rather in these words, "Yes, I know and I believe that Jesus died for me. It was for my sins that he suffered on Calvary." Have you believed this? Do you see yourself as the one who deserved to be on Calvary, as the one for whom Christ died? This is believing on Christ. Now, those that believe on Christ are indeed united into a very unique company that belong to him. Oh, the family of God! What a wonderful company that will be together in eternity forever, and which even now have fellowship because we belong to him. For instance, in Isaiah 53, in verse 5, we read, "He was wounded for our transgressions." In Romans 4:25, we read, "He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." And in Romans 5:8, "God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Thank God for everyone who belongs to this company of the us and the we and the our. Do you belong to that company? Well, that company is composed of every individual believer who has seen that Jesus died for him. Do you believe this? This is believing on Christ. But now again, let me consider this with you. To believe on Christ is to believe in the cleansing power of the blood that was shed on the cross. The testimony of Scripture from beginning to end witnesses to the necessity of the blood of Christ. It is the blood that makes an atonement or a covering for the soul. We are guilty before God. Believing on Christ recognizes one's individual guilt and the need of having that guilt cleansed, washed away, the need to be justified. The cleansing we need is found in the blood of Christ as presented in doctrine in the New Testament. For instance, we read in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." This is what we need individually. When we think of our sins, oh, how God knows them, how filthy and vile we are because of them. We need cleansing, or else we cannot be in his presence. Well, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. When we believe that he shed his blood for us, that faith causes that blood to wash us and make us whiter than snow. A picture of this is seen in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 12. And God intends that we should be impressed with what he is emphasizing there. That is, that the child of Israel was sheltered from judgment only through the sprinkling of the blood of the lamb that was slain, the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost and lintel of the house. It was every individual house that had to have the blood. If it was not so, the Lord himself would destroy the firstborn. God intends, I say, that we should learn by this that there must be a personal application of the blood of Christ by faith to our own souls. In a word, do you believe that Christ died for your sins and his blood was shed to wash them away, that his blood was shed to provide a covering from the judgment of God which you and I rightly deserve? This is what believing on Christ means. Now again, to believe on Christ, may we suggest, implies that we believe that he receives those who come to him. Oh, how many times we hear him saying, "Come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And then we notice that he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now he means that today, just as much as when he said it, when he was here. Have you come to him? Have you come in simple faith? Now, coming is believing. Him that cometh to me. Well, now, true believing on Christ will say, yes, I have come, and he has received me. Do you know that? Well, God wants you to be assured of this, that if in simple faith you have come to Christ in all your need, and in repentance, and in faith, he has received you. He will not cast you out. He gives you everlasting life. This, again, is what it means to believe on Christ. Now, in conclusion, just let me ask you, my dear listening friend, are you now, this very moment, a true believer on Christ? Oh, I urge that you answer this question frankly before God right now where you are. It's most vital indeed. It concerns the welfare of your eternal soul, immortal soul. The answer to the question is either yes or no. You cannot be indecisive. You are either for Christ or against him. You trust him, such as we have outlined, or you do not. And let me remind you this, that without faith in him, the faith that we've been speaking of, a personal faith in appropriating him, there is absolutely no salvation for your soul. You are condemned already, and over you is hanging the judgment of God which the sinner deserves. If you are, then, such a stranger to Jesus and to his grace, if you are right now living and going on in unbelief, will you not consider how awfully dangerous your state is? Will you not be aware of the fact that eternal danger is on your heels? And perhaps another step that you take will cause you to be lost forever. God's long-suffering will not continually linger in grace for you. How quickly, how suddenly, you can be carried away by death, your life snuffed out, as it were, in a moment. Will you not consider this? And if you die in your sins, Jesus said, whither I go, you cannot come. How suddenly, too, the Lord himself will come from heaven and close the day of grace, and then you will be left behind for judgment. Face these facts. These are the realities of the testimony of Scripture we present to you as the ground of faith. Will you not at once own your need? Will you not at once, then, believe in this love that does not desire that you perish? Will you not believe on him who died for your sins, for you, the sinner, and rose again? Will you not trust that precious blood that was shed to make you clean in God's sight and provide you with shelter from the wrath to come? Will you not come to him now and believe that in coming he receives you? God grant that you will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.